Well, Tom on Rural Focus right now to, well, speak a little bit of legal terminology. Nick Steinsvag, the Senior Associate with the Valenti Lawyers, is with him this morning. Nick, good morning, mate.
Good morning, Troy.
Speaking unfair contracts this morning, what is or are unfair contracts?
Unfair contracts, all of this stems from the Australian Consumer Law, which was introduced back in the beginning of 2011. And one of the things that the Australian Consumer Law did was introduce this concept of an unfair contract term, which is essentially a term, so a condition or a clause or a part of a contract that is both unfair and forms part of a standard form contract. And if one of these terms meets those two criteria, then it can be void. That means that it can be unenforceable and won't apply.
So what makes a contract unfair?
The main things that the court looks at, unfortunately, it's not as clear-cut as one party doesn't like what they signed. There's a very specific definition, a test you have to satisfy. It's not simply that you weren't happy with the deal you got. A term, and it only applies to specific terms or clauses within the contract, not the contract as a whole. So what you have to look at is if a particular term is, and it's mainly three things, is it causing a real power imbalance between the rights of the parties? So you've got a big Goliath against a little guy, where that term isn't really necessary to protect that big party's interests.
Yep.
It's legitimate business interests. And the third thing is, if that larger, more powerful party were allowed to rely on this term, is that going to be causing detriment to the little guy, essentially? So what the legislation really tried to do was correct and protect the little guy, if you like, from big corporations using their weight and bargaining power to dictate completely unreasonable terms. There was no real need for these big parties to protect their business in that way, and the little guys were suffering.
Does it apply to all contracts here, Nick?
No, so that it initially, when it was introduced, it only applied, when the Australian Consumer Law was introduced, these unfair contract terms only applied to consumer contracts. So contracts where someone is buying or selling goods or services, so you're having an actual tangible product or a service being provided, and where that was in relation to a personal, domestic or household use. So if it was in relation to business at all, it wasn't captured. In 2016, that was expanded. So contracts that not only apply to consumers, but small business contracts, which have a special definition, were included. Now, for small businesses to get the benefit of it, it needs to be three things. Firstly, one of the parties to that contract has to be a business with fewer than 20 employees. That doesn't include casual employees unless they are working regular and certain hours, and so they're not really a casual employee. So if you've got fewer than 20 employees, your business is likely to be a small business under this legislation. And then if you have a contract in relation to goods or services of land, goods or services or the supply or grant of an interest in land, so it applies to buying and selling property as well, where there's a price cap then on the business. If the upfront price is less than $300,000, or if it's a contract that has a term that goes for 12 months or more, where the total price is $1 million or less. So there's still a monetary cap on. You can be a small business, but it might be a really big contract. You're not going to get the protections of it. But if you're a small business and it's under one of those limits of $300,000, or if it's a contract for a period of time of $1 million, then it'll be a small business contract. So consumer contracts and small business contracts get this protection. The other part of this is, and I mentioned before, that the two things that legislation protects are unfair terms in a standard form contract. So not all consumer contracts or small business contracts are going to get this protection, even if they meet that definition. In order to trigger it, it has to be a standard form contract. That's not actually defined anywhere in the legislation, but the court will look at really what it's meant to protect is people from these take it or leave it kind of contracts, whether there is any genuine discussion or ability to negotiate the terms. And the things the court will look at are the bargaining position, so the relative power, if one party is, you know, the bigger guy and the little guy, and whether that little guy or the small business genuinely has the ability to negotiate the terms and change these and have a say in what they are or aren't going to agree to. Pretty much any time you buy something online, you're going to be clicking, I accept the terms and conditions, you've got no ability to contact that vendor or seller and say, I'd like to change, you know, I don't agree with clause 21 of your terms and conditions and your website where you spell it out. It's a take it or leave it contract. A similar one would be airline tickets. So if you're buying airfares online, you're accepting the take it or leave it standard form contract of the airlines. So there's no definition, but it's a case-by-case look at whether or not the small guy actually had an opportunity to negotiate, whether there was any discussions, who prepared the contract, or all those kinds of things. But so they are the contracts that will be captured by the legislation. A standard form contract, if it's a consumer contract or a small business contract.
All right, and I'm sure they can get in contact with you and the team there at Valenti Lawyers.
Absolutely. We would be more than happy to help.
All right. Hey, Nick from Valenti Lawyers, mate, as always, nice to chat. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you very much for having me, Troy.